in the place with under some pressure. Hit and set by Gilbert Brown. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies. The back.
Bill Gravedigger.
The back of the club, Mackin' Floor, my crew's behind me.
I mean, this guy was 345 pounds, and when you have a nickname like the Gravedigger, you're God.
And now, presented by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall in beautiful Green Bay, Wisconsin, the Packer Report Podcast with Gilbert Brown. Here's your host, publisher of the Packer Report, Ross Uglum.
What's up, Packers fans? This is your host, Ross Uglum, and welcome to another edition, another episode of the Packer Report Podcast featuring Gilbert Brown. Brought to you by Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall. You know, it's a victory Monday, but there's still a lot of complaining going on. Green Bay took on Washington, and, that 3-9 record is 3-9, but their record over the last 2 weeks was 2-0. They had won two straight with Dwayne Haskins at quarterback coming into Green Bay. And the Packers end up with a 20-15 victory. I'm going to hit the news real briefly because we don't have a ton to talk about. The biggest thing that I saw was that Roquan Smith, the stud middle linebacker, the top 10 pick from a year ago for the Chicago Bears, tore his pec. And that's a season ender every time. That's a season ender every time he's been placed on injured reserve. It means we're going to see a lot of Nick Kwiatkowski on Sunday, but he's out for the year. Green Bay wins, and this 49ers win down in New Orleans, which means that the Packers move up to the number two seed and hop over the Saints. And the biggest news of the weekend is that there is a Packer Report podcast live coming to Stadium View Bar, Grill, and Banquet Hall at 4:30 on Sunday. Gilbert, are you going to be there?
Yes, I'm going to be there. I'm looking for people to show up, and we can have a good time. Hopefully, a great Packers victory on that day as well.
Yeah, that's really going to affect the mood, I think. But you know what? Folks like to complain too. So maybe if they lose, we'll have a similar turnout, a similar crowd. They'll just be angrier, angrier people. But Green Bay right now,
though, right? Not at us, right?
No, they won't be mad at us. It's not me. You know, I'm not calling the plays. You're not stuffing the run. It's not on us. It's certainly not on us. But we really are excited about this. As you know, we've had a partnership with Stadium View since we started this bad boy, and it's a big part of what we want to do is a live deal for you folks. We're going to break down the game, maybe break down the season a little bit. And then we really want to drop in a Q&A afterwards that we're really excited about. I'd assume most of the questions are going to be for you, Gilbert, but if you've got some for me, folks, you know, come on in. And then very, very happy to, do a meet and greet afterwards. We'd love to talk to you guys, the listeners. Love to talk to the fans. Gilbert's probably going to have some swag. Your boy with Mayfield Sports Marketing, probably going to bring some shovels, probably going to bring some 8x10s. Mm-hmm. I would guess that there's going to be some swag. So again, that's 4:30, folks, at Stadium View. That gives, you guys time to shuffle out of Lambeau Field, gives me time to talk to, LaFleur and talk to the players after the game. And then, which will be quite the weekend for me personally. So hopefully a cocktail or two, maybe some excellent Stadium View food, and getting to meet some of our loyal, I don't know how loyal you can be after 8 episodes, but our loyal Packer Report listeners. And we're really, really excited about that. Gilbert, I wanted to check in because we talked about cars on last week's show. And guys, we'll get to the football. We promise. We always get to the football. Mm-hmm. But you wanted to talk. We talked cars. We talked about my Monte Carlo. We talked about your Mopar stuff, my Camaro. But you are a van guy. And that's a road that I just cannot go down with you.
Why not, man? What's the deal?
I should too, because folks that don't know, I married a beautiful, beautiful woman who had four children. So I have four stepchildren, and we are expecting. So I'm going to be a first-time dad, but we're going to be a family of seven in about 90 days here. Wow. So maybe it's time for me to be a van guy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, it'll get you from point A to point B. You can put them way in the back and tell them to watch TV and be quiet. That's why I see it. That's
fair, especially, you know, the key vans have the double DVD where you can keep, can pacify the second and the third row seats with, you know, the Avengers or Elmo or, you know, I don't know, whatever demographic you're trying to hit there. But you are a van guy. Now, folks that have been following the show, they've seen the Marvel versus DC van. Mm-hmm. But I would guess that is not your only van.
No, sir. I have I have four vans.
Woo.
I have a 72 Dodge Tradesman that they saw. I got a 75 Dodge, a 67 Dodge. And for the modern folks, I got a 2018 Chevy van.
So these are, just so we're clear here, I don't mean to interrupt you, but just so we're clear here. You're talking about vans, right? I mean, this is not minivan central. This is not soccer mom Gilbert. This is full on van.
Big daddy mobiles, man. Hey, big daddy mobiles. And the thing about what got me to loving vans is my dad and my uncle. They both had vans back in the day, 72s and whatever. And we used to get all piled up in the vans, and we would go see grandma on their way and West Virginia, Beckley, West Virginia. So it was a nice ride and you know, six kids in the back and you doing the thing. And it's just one of those things where those trips you can't never get back. The memories and certain things that's going on. And when I saw the first one I got, it brought me back. So I had to have it. I got it out of Rancho Cucamonga, California. Shag included inside. So if you got in there and you ain't had no AC, you're going to be sweating, baby. You're going to be sweating. But I love those things. And they're very nice because you can customize them anyway. You can put beds in them. The Marvel versus DC one I have, I got, you're going to laugh. I got a bed. I got two chandeliers in there.
Okay.
Two chandeliers in there. All kind of pictures on the wall and light it up crazy. I mean, I can win about three awards with that dang thing, but it's just one of those things where you can do your own flavor in these things. And if you like car shows, you can go to car shows. The van culture is very, very particular.
Okay.
And the way they do things. So we, you know, it's pretty cool. I love talking about my vans.
Yeah. So we were a family of four, but my mom loved Suburbans. Always wanted to have a Suburban because you could separate my sister who sat in the middle seat. And then I sat all the way in the back. And even though there were only four of us, they were still able to have that separation plus the room in the back. But I don't think my mom's not much of a van person. I will say that we did have a family in the small town that I grew up, and they had a Ford conversion van, might have been a Chevy. I don't remember off the top of my head, but what I do remember is they did have the built-in TV with the VCR. And I swear to God, the only two movies they had in there was Billy Madison and Happy Gilmore, but still, we loved it. We did. I mean,
wow.
Because this was before, you got to remember, I grew up in the 90s and very early 2000s. So this is before built-in DVDs. Like, to get in a van where you could watch TV and it was built in, it was pretty cool. It was pretty cool. So my van story, if you will, is not really a van story at all. Mm-hmm. But for years, the school that I went to, when they combined and there was a big tornado that went through my hometown, it was on CNN. It was a whole thing. I mean, it was like an F4, one guy died, millions of dollars in damage, absolutely millions of dollars in damage. That caused some people to be displaced and moved to other schools. And what happened was they ended up with too many school buses. And so some of the older school buses were put up for sale. And, you know, I was a broke college kid at the time. I had no money. I mean, absolutely no money. But me and two buddies, they had this 1988 Ford, not like the short bus that you might see for like a retirement home, or a specialty school, but like the in between that. So not the big long 48 foot bus, not the shorter bus, but this kind of in between joint. Right. And they had it for $1,000 cash. The school district for 8-9 months, maybe even over a year, that thing was advertised. And so we finally just made the offer. It was me and two buddies, and we offered them $750, which if you do the math, it means the three of us scraped together, you know, from whatever we were doing. I was probably either bartending or teaching kids to golf or whatever the heck I was doing for money. But the three of us scraped together $250 each and bought a school bus. And we torched the seats out, and we put in couches, and we put in coolers, and we put in a bar, and, you know, speakers and lights. And that was kind of our party bus for the better part of 5-6 years. And then we decided finally in 2012 or 2013, maybe it was, that we were getting a little too old for that. And now it's a tailgating vehicle. So now it's all painted up green and gold. It's got, a bar in the back and some nicer couches, some LED lights that you can set to green and yellow with a nice sound system. So I've got a school bus story, but I've got no van story.
Hey, they all in the same family, man. You get all your people in there, you go rolling.
Absolutely.
So you're in the same fam.
Yeah, great memories in that bus too. Absolutely great memories. All right, so Packers win 20-15. Boy, I got to tell you. So Za'Darius Smith said to somebody, "If we can step on them early defensively, 12 is going to take care of it." And I tell you, after the first quarter, this looked like it was going to be a real butt kicking, which was what you and I wanted. That's what we talked about in the preview show. We said we'd love to see a 3-phase game against an opponent that's not real great and really just dominate the game. And Green Bay starts out awesome on defense and forces excellent field position. They're up 14-0 with 34 seconds left in the first quarter. Rodgers was in a rhythm early. Aaron Jones was running the ball well. Defensively, they were getting pressure on Haskins. They weren't letting Geis and Peterson run all over them. And then they scored just 6 points for the next three quarters. Just a rougher performance offensively.
You can't go into a game like Chicago and putting out that type of performance the week before, because you got to go into this game with some type of swagger. It's a rivalry game. You can't really put the moments on what happened, but you know, going back to what we was talking about with Adrian Peterson, man, once they started feeding him the ball, everything started opening up for the Washington Redskins.
Yeah, it really did. And what the game plan became was extremely, extremely obvious. I mean, it was Peterson on first down, Peterson on second down, and one way or another, that was 6 or 8 yards, over the course of those two carries. Because you look at his final numbers, you know, as far as we're talking about Peterson, they're not great. 20 carries for 76 yards, that's 3.8 a carry. If you're defense and you're giving up 3.8 a carry, you feel pretty darn good about that.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, it was not like 12 and then minus 1 or 13 and then 1. It was constantly these 3 and 4 yard paper cuts that would set up Dwayne Haskins with the ability to have a 3rd and 3 or a 3rd and 2. And by hook or by crook, you know, they were able to convert 3rd downs. And, over and over again, 4 for 11 doesn't sound like a lot, but it seemed like when they, when they were able to convert, those were on the same drives and the same, you know, kind of rolling down. They got, of course, the Peterson touchdown and then kicked a couple field goals. I would classify the McLaurin touchdown as junk time. I mean, that, the game was over because you basically can't get a onside kick anymore. It has gotten to the point where it is darn near impossible strictly because of the, you can't run, you know, the defenders can't run. You have to wait till the ball's kicked. There's no running start anymore. So onside kicks are way, way down. So I would classify that as junk time, but during non-junk time, still an effective way to kind of move the ball down the field. And speaking of effective, and this is something that we talked about as well, is Tyler Irvin, the running back mid-round pick guy that Gutekunst has taken a chance on as a returner. And heading into the game, the Packers were kind of by far the worst return unit in the history of professional football, which is kind of nuts, but it's absolutely true. And they had to get it figured out. And I didn't know if it was scheme. I know a lot about offensive scheme and defensive scheme. I'll be very honest with you. I don't know a damn thing about special teams scheme.
Mm-hmm.
Four returns, 51 yards, averaging 12.8 per return. I called that a B plus, maybe an A minus. But a B plus and maybe an A minus is a revolution for this special teams unit.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, giving him the opportunity, you know, they probably had to go back and look at certain things that didn't work. I mean, you can't put it all on the returner because
they got to block it up.
Yeah, they got to block it up. So, but you know, with a new guy coming in, everybody wants to do their best. Everybody don't want to be the worst ever. So, I mean, that on alone turned up that punt return type deal. So getting him out there and getting him fresh to the Green Bay Packer way, I think it's going to get better and better as the weeks come along.
Could you briefly explain just the impact that Desmond had on your club?
Oh, my God. People got to understand, Desmond, his thing was a receiver.
Right.
He's a receiver.
And a damn good one at, yeah, you know, in college.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, transitioning over to that, you know, you have to understand his philosophy so that the guys understand it so they can go out and block. And what made Desmond so good for them is Desmond took the time to tell him what he's trying to set up, what he's trying to do. Always block. Don't look behind you to see where I'm at. Just block up front and I'm going to get you there. And they believed in him to do that. You see what I'm saying? So it ain't just what coach talking about. It's about 11 guys getting together and understanding what we are trying to do. And don't turn around and look at me and see where I'm at. Stay focused on your block because I'm going to run past you and then you can look at me.
Absolutely. And that is something, you know, I think that gets underrated, and one of these pods in the offseason, we'll have to talk about the 1996 team's place in history, because the NFL did a top 100 teams of all mm-hmm. time, and I really struggled with, and I'm probably biased a little bit, and I would guess you are certainly too,
mm-hmm.
but it's so rare to have the number one offense and the number one defense mm-hmm. and one of the greatest return men of all time. I mean, offense, defense, special teams, there are a lot of Super Bowl champion clubs that had a weaker side of the ball. I mean, you just don't create these kind of rounded out teams, these darn near perfect teams. Now, did you guys have a perfect record? No. But in my opinion, you were as close to a team with no weaknesses as you'll find. But that's, again, that's a pod for another day, because I've would bet you and I could do a full 45.
Oh, absolutely.
That. I could do a full 45 on Aaron Jones. This is a kid that I have been trumpeting since he got there. He was really underrated because of the small school that he went to. You know, UTEP in El Paso doesn't get a ton of credit playing, you know, ball in Conference USA. I think they're still in Conference USA. And he's been electric with the ball in his hand since he got there. Now, he hasn't been able to stay healthy until this season, but I would shudder to think what would have happened offensively without Aaron Jones yesterday. 8.4 yards a carry for 134 yards and a touchdown and 58 yards through the air, including maybe the with the way the game flow worked, I would say the game winner on 3rd and 13 from their own end zone. Aaron Jones catches a 25-yard bomb. What a throw by Rodgers. He did not play well, number 12. That throw, though, was that was Hall of Fame stuff, man. That was absolutely incredible. But Aaron Jones, if this team makes noise in the playoffs, he just might be the reason why.
Yeah, I always say, man, and you look at this, if we were – imagine how he would be if we were a running, blocking team.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? I mean, we, right now we're holding him back. But if he was on a – like back in the day when he – if he'd have had like that Dallas offensive line or somebody, oh, my God.
The Wall Rivera.
This kid would be outrageous. Yes, yes, yes. All them type of guys. But, you know, not taking nothing from our offensive line that we have now. But I consistently say we're not a just straight out come hit you in the mouth team. We're a finesse team when it comes to blocking for the run. But if we were not, oh, my God, this kid would be sky's the limit.
And I don't disagree with that, and I think it's part of roster building. As I've mentioned, I think Elgton Jenkins will get there. You saw that exact same career arc with David Bakhtiari, who came in as an awesome pass blocker that added the run block to his game later. Now, number 69 has had kind of an off year. I don't think he's 100% healthy. But as you get added strength and stuff, I think you'll see that Billy Turner is what he is. Billy Turner is a converted tackle. I mean, he's a pass block guy, and that's what they pay him to do, protect number 12. Hello. I mean, that's what his purpose is in there, but he's not a mauler. He's not going to tell you he's a mauler. He, you know, I mean, that's you're exactly right. That's not what the makeup of this offensive line is. Another guy that I think had a really good game, and this was one of the rare times where he actually, I think, play after play after play followed their number one threat, was Jair Alexander on Terry McLaurin. Now, eventually McLaurin had the touchdown and ended up with 57 yards, but I got to tell you, I would guess that at least two of those and quite a few of the yards were on the so I've got it right here. The last drive where Pettine goes soft zone and stops having Jair basically man up McLaurin, you had a 21-yard catch and a 13-yard touchdown. So 34 of the 57 yards were on one drive late against soft zone. So if you take that away from him, we're talking about, what, two catches for 20 yards, something like that, and this kid is – might win offensive rookie of the year. I mean, he's at that level. Usually offensive rookie of the year goes to a tailback, and it'll probably end up going to Josh Jacobs. But if there was a rookie wide receiver of the year, which there's not, and I get that, but if there was a rookie wide receiver of the year, it would be Terry McLaurin. He's been that dude. And Jair, for the most part, beat him up.
Yeah, I mean, that kid is nice, man. I like his game. At first I thought he was too pretty. You know what I'm saying? I thought he was too pretty, you know. But he's coming into his own of being, I'm going to be that shutdown guy for the Green Bay Packers. Put me on the best receiver and watch me do my thing. And that's the thing that, you know, we've been that way for years. I mean, let's put Craig Newsome on him. Let's see what he do. Let's put Tyrone Williams on. You know, them type of guys where you can believe in them to put him on their best guy and see how the outcome is. And Jair is that man.
For sure. And, you know, it became, you said it, then it became Al Harris, and then it became Charles Woodson, and then it became Tremont. And that is something that after Tremont, honestly, they missed, because I don't know if Sam Shields ever got to that level. Quentin Rollins and Demarius Randall certainly didn't. I think that was obvious, is that, you know, top 60 picks, they ended up getting basically pushed out of town. But eventually, you ended up with Jair, and they feel like he's that guy. And with Kevin King gone and having to play some Josh Jackson, my guy who played his ass off, by the way, Josh Jackson, one catch allowed for 1 yard. And you would have thought that he would have been, okay, 37 doesn't normally play, 20 is out, we're going after 37. He was having none of it. So I'm very encouraged by his game. You got to be right. You got to be encouraged by your guy Adrian Peterson there at 34 years young.
Yeah, man, he came out and did his thing. It was just that mystique of what he used to do to Green Bay when he was with Minnesota, you know. So that's always in the back of your mind about how he plays. I mean, even when Edgar Bennett went over to the Chicago Bears, in the back of our mind, we knew what he can do. So the mystique of what he can do probably put some of that yards that he got on the field on Sunday.
Yeah, Rodgers mentioned after the game, he said he's the best back I've seen in my 15 years. So I don't know how you could have higher praise for a guy that wow. has.
That's awesome.
You know, and no, Pete, has he won a lot against the Packers? No, he hasn't. The win-loss record is not great, but he's made it work. You know, he's done his thing.
Yeah, he did.
Individually, there's no question about that.
I mean, that's just like saying about like Barry Sanders. I mean, his win-loss record was not great against us either.
Right.
But he was a bad man. You see what I'm saying?
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. Defensively, would you have liked to, you know, be a little bit better against a rookie quarterback? Maybe.
Yes.
You know, kept them down.
Absolutely. Like,
if you don't give up that last touchdown, though, they're in single digits. You know, they end up with nine. And I think then you feel a little bit better about just giving up a touchdown and a field goal. You know, Peterson got the touchdown. He generally gets his. I think the announcer said eight straight games for Peterson at Lambeau Field with a touchdown. It's, you know, it's pretty predictable stuff. He's kind of been at that level his whole career, has had success there his whole career. But ultimately, though, four sacks, and I thought Adrian Amos, which was a big-time free agent signing in the offseason, he had two passes defensed, had a pick, had a sack. He was basically brought in to be this solid guy because that's what the Packers were missing at safety was consistency. Ha-ha Clinton Dix got so much grief from the Packers fans because he'd make a play, maybe he'd make two plays, but then he'd take a terrible angle on a run or he'd give up a touchdown. And they just wanted somebody in the back end they could count on. Amos yesterday was way beyond that. He was not solid. Yesterday he played like a star.
Anytime you got a guy like that that's stepping up and you waiting to see brilliance is all through the year. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So you want to say, is he consistent? Is he inconsistent? You know, it's just like how I'm always defending Blake Martinez. You know what I'm saying? I'm thinking, you know, this team here, man, it's like, let's not take turns on being great. Let's all be great at the same time so we can win games and shut people down. And that's what we need, consistency out of all 11 guys out there.
You know who's been consistent since, I don't know, about 4 weeks ago after maybe, honestly, I would say flat out just since the bye and since he got a little bit more healthy is your boy. Your boy, Kenny Clark.
Oh, there he is.
Yeah.
There
he is. And honestly, I would say even since the Chargers game, so not before the bye a little bit, he has been so unbelievably good over the last 5-6 weeks and was awesome, specifically in the pass rush game on Sunday. He had five quarterback pressures, three hurries and two sacks, absolutely all over the field. I'm going to give you about a minute here just to wax poetic about your boy.
Man, Pro Bowl. Can we say Pro Bowl?
I mean,
can we say that?
Yeah, him and Za'Darius Smith are the two, and I think what's going to end up, unfortunately for Kenny, dragging him down is the start to the season, but Pro Bowl for sure, and I would love to make an all-pro case for Kenny because my opinion, he was an all-pro last year and got snubbed.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times, those awards go to guys the year after they actually should have had it. Whether it's a Pro Bowl or it's an all-pro award, you know, it's the year after you deserve it where people start to know your name. And I could see that happening with Kenny. You know, his sack numbers, they're not where an Aaron Donald's are or even, you know, Grady Jarrett, but he's good. I mean, from, you're going to see, I would guess, in the All-Pro, you're going to see a lot of three techs, the up the field guys.
Yeah. You know what? It's kind of, it makes me mad or sad or whatever.
Yeah.
Because in a similar thing like that, that's a lot of times what happened to me.
Yep.
Our defense, our division was so heavy with Sapp and
Randall.
What's the other kid? Randall and them type of guys that, you know, even though I had a great year, you know, you got these guys ahead of you that's already been there. So it's kind of hard for you to crack into that upper echelon. Even though everybody in the fans see how good you're playing and what you're putting out there, you know. But I don't think Kenny Clark has that problem. But I do think that people need to really start paying attention to the game that this kid is putting out week in and week out. The pressures, the sacks, the runs, the everything that he's doing literally by himself, because our defense is a scheme that sets him up to be double teamed a lot. You see what I'm saying?
I do. I think you and I need to come out with some merch, and one of the t-shirts needs to be respect. Respect the one tech, respect the nose, because you never, I'm not kidding though, because, you know, Randall and Warren Sapp and guys that,
oh my God. Yeah.
You know, they had, God, I'm, it's going to kill me. Who was the nose that Warren played next to? Good player.
Oh, I know who you're talking about. God, I know who you're talking about.
Oh, that's,
I don't know. Yeah, but
it's gonna kill
the
me.
The thing about that is the nose, people don't really realize the nose has to set the point. The nose has to flush the rabbit out so the rabbit can run into a Reggie White or a Sean Jones or a Santana Dotson. I mean, we're in a no glamour position.
Oh, we're gonna,
we have to make glamour.
We're gonna look real dumb because the guy's on TV every week.
Who?
Booger McFarland.
Oh, yes.
That's who it was. Yeah, we forgot who Booger was, even though he's on TV every week.
Yes.
That's not a rare case. There are a lot of times that really good three techs, guys that get a lot of sacks, guys that get a lot of tackles for loss, play next to studs like you and Booger. I mean, it's anyway. That's maybe another another show for the off season that we can get into a little bit. Bottom line, though, a win is a win. Matt LaFleur is the first year Packers head coach in history with 10 wins. Not Vince Lombardi, not Mike Sherman, not Mike McCarthy.
Oh, it wasn't Mike Sherman, you sure?
But hey, not Mike Holmgren either. You know, there were very good football coaches in Packers history.
Definitely not Ray Rose. No. Definitely not Ray Rose.
Poor Ray. Yeah. But the point,
that's another podcast we can do.
The point is that's it. There are a lot of great coaches in Packers history, and none of them ever won 10. Now, does that mean that Matt's going to be better than McCarthy or better than, you know, better than Holmgren or, you know, obviously better than Vince? No, it doesn't mean that, but it's an achievement and his ability.
Let's just hope it ain't no sophomore jinx.
Let's hope that as well. Absolutely. Well, you know, like I said, this is a team that won six games last year, didn't have a winning season the year before that either, and 10-3. I look at it, I would think if you put a gun to my head, I'd tell you 12-4 will probably be the finish. That's a hell of a first year.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Coming in, and especially with being able to be a Green Bay Packer head coach. You know, the head coaches before him, they all are famed coaches. I don't know if Mike Sherman is, but they're all famed coaches. So it's just one of those things where you got to take your hat off to this guy, because coming into the season, it was so many marks against him, and is him and Aaron going to get along, and is he going to be able to put this team where it needs to be back on top? And I think he answered all those questions, man. I really do think he answered all those questions. And I really do think that if it's 12-4 or 13-3 or whatever it is going to be, let's see what happens as soon as we get in the playoffs.
Yeah, the second season, that's big time. And I think folks would prefer if his offensive numbers were a little bit better. You know, he was billed as this offensive guru, but you know what? Mm-hmm. I mean, he's having a lot better season than you know, guy with like Sean McVay, who has that genius tag. Yeah. And he comes from the Shanahan line, and look at how well mm-hmm. he's doing. You know, if we can get in Green Bay, if they can get a version of what Kyle Shanahan's doing out in San Francisco, that'd be great.
Now, yes.
Shanahan's had some years before he got there where they had top five picks, and he's got, you know, talent of that level that Green Bay just never did, because Green Bay doesn't ever pick in the top five right. that set him up. But you still have to take your hat off for sure. All right, folks, mm-hmm. we want to remind you, and we will have something out on Packer Report. We're going to promote it on social. You'll know about it, and I think Stadium View is going to help us promote it for sure. But here is your reminder, 4:30 after the game, after availability of the players, availability of the coaches, saunter your way over to Stadium View. Gilbert and I.
Sashay.
Yes, yeah, Sashay. 4:30, Gilbert and I are going to do a live pod. We're going to do we're going to break the game down. We're going to do a Q&A. We're going to do a meet and greet. It is such a big deal for us getting this baby going. We are so very, very excited. Thanks one more time to Stadium View Bar and Grill. Thank you to Mayfield Sports Marketing. Gilbert, thank you for your time. The best way to support us, two ways. Number one, become a VIP subscriber over at the Packer Report. Today is the last day. I'm talking about 11:59 Eastern. It's going to stop. The 50% off or upgrade your monthly subscription to a 50% off annual is going to stop. The other thing you can do is give this show a 5-star rating. Give it a written review and subscribe. That way you're listening to it every time. It's going to automatically download onto your device. And we would be very, very appreciative of that. The 5-star review and the rating is so that folks can find us easier. Guys, we're doing this for free. We're doing this because we love doing it. We're doing it for you guys. And the more people that find out about us, the more people that listen. Thanks, everybody, one last time. And Go Pack, go.